Hello everyone, this is Claudia, your host. Welcome to Chat with Analytics Skills. I'm very happy to have today a special guest, Smriti, who is an AI speaker, part of Google Mentors crew, and she's working on leveraging AI solutions, educating communities that extend access to knowledge and resources to more diverse groups. Hi, Smriti. Welcome to today's episode. I'm very happy to have you here today, and we'll discuss the anatomy of leadership in the space of AI and data science. Warm welcome again, and please share with us an intro.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Claudia, for having me here. It's really nice to be here, and hopefully we'll have an amazing discussion today. So a little about me. I'm Smriti, and I'm currently involved in a couple of different projects, one of which is AI for Diversity, which is one of the fastest nonprofit global initiatives, like fastest growing nonprofit global initiatives, which is working towards engaging and educating diverse communities across the globe about how artificial intelligence and technology can be used to benefit the global society. And I'm also involved in some mentoring, where I'm a part of the mentor community for Google Accelerator. And I recently joined it, actually. And I'm pretty excited to, you know, like, work on different opportunities that come through that. So, yeah, looking forward to the chat.
That sounds fantastic. And the first question that comes to my mind is, how do you have time?
It's a great question. And it's something that the value or the importance of time management is something that I learned, I think, the hard way. Like a lot of us, I'm sure. So earlier, there was a time, like, not too long ago, maybe like 2 years back, where I was like, you know, any project that I come across, which I found interesting, without computing how much time it would take or how exhausting it would be on my mental and physical health eventually, I used to do everything and invested a lot of time. So I have worked until 11 p.m. on some days. And that made me realize, and that was okay for some time. It was fun for some time. And I thought that, okay, you know, I'm doing something good. I felt happy about myself. But then very quickly, I realized how exhausting it is and that it's not sustainable at all. And so I took a step back and I decided to evaluate tasks and prioritize them. And that's something that I do right now. So, like, if I have a full-time job, that's already like 40 hours a week. So now if I'm working on a full-time job, I try to divide the rest of the time I have available into any nonprofit or voluntary activity I'm doing. But I also try to keep in mind that it's important to have personal space and private space as well. I recently went to this seminar, which was organized by NOVA, which I'm a part of. And there, the speaker spoke to us about the roles that we have in our life and that we can divide it into three. The first one would be the professional roles, which you do in your job. And then it's personal, which involves your family and yourself, right? And that's also tasks can be exhausting sometimes. And the third one is private, which is just for yourself, like your own thing that you do to recharge or some mandatory things as well. So I try to align my time management based on these three aspects as much as possible. And although I'm still working on some voluntary and nonprofit things, I try to make sure that, you know, like, I put a time limit on it. So, yeah, it's a lot of prioritizing, I guess.
That's a hard task. And it's so important to have a balance, although it's equally important of showing the personal example and giving back to the community, inspiring the new generations. I'm curious if you can share more. How did you deal in the past, or what are your recommendations about how to develop business relationship and influence the C-level in different organizations to adopt data science solutions?
Absolutely. I think it's an extremely important question. And I learned the importance of it when I was working as the head of artificial intelligence at Earth Bank. And I also worked on an independent project with Catalyson, where I was directly communicating with some people, or sort of like the end customer, the people who would actually use the product, which we don't get to do a lot usually in our day-to-day jobs. So that's why I think it was an extremely unique experience. I think the first thing and where it all starts for me is to understand what we are trying to solve, like understanding the problem and connecting with it personally if we can. And I think that's extremely crucial when it comes to developing a relationship with business leaders or to influence the adoption of our projects or solutions, because every time you try to, communicate with someone who's in charge of the project, maybe, or even the customer, it's extremely important that they understand why your problem is worth solving. Like, if they can connect to your problem in the early stages. Maybe if I'm trying to pitch my startup to an investor, it's extremely important that I set a context right in the beginning. And when it comes to adoption techniques, I think it depends on what kind of problem you're solving, what kind of end customers you have, the domain you're working on. Like, I worked a little in healthcare industry and also climate tech before. When I worked on healthcare, the consistency, reliability, maintenance of the models, the healthcare regulations based on different parts of the world, those were extremely important in order for me to, deploy my project, my solution. When I was working in climate change, we had to go through a lot of the climate regulations by EU. Also, when we work on something like climate change, it can be extremely local, the solution, based on the type of problem, the nature of problem. It's extremely different in Amazon rainforests or the mangroves in India. So it's extremely important to understand it, be in the shoes of your customer and speak with them, understand it. Yeah.
That's a must, I would say. What about having yourself in a completely new space without knowing which are the key stakeholders? How would you find the decision makers? How would you build some relationships and find allies in the new space?
Absolutely. I think, obviously, if anyone is in such a situation, it can be very intimidating at first. There's always some point of contact with you, right? Like someone who's communicating with you. We can look at it in two different approaches, I think. One is like ladder up. You have a point of contact. You figure out what's going on there, who is the best person to talk to regarding a certain problem or a certain solution, or maybe someone who knows about this technology or is interested in it even. And then that can be like a good way to navigate. And I would also, in that case, if I'm presented an opportunity to talk to someone who probably knows about the business or the stakeholders or the management better than me, ask as many questions as possible and understand what I'm getting into. or what is the best way to approach this person, like maybe an investor or a stakeholder. So yeah, I think that's something that I would do. And I think honestly, it's very similar to how you would approach a job search. Technically, when you are looking for references, and if you find someone maybe working in the same team as the manager you have applied to, you try to find out as much as possible about the team, the tasks, maybe what kind of like approach the manager likes in interviews. And yeah, just approach it in a similar way. Or the other thing which I also have tried is sort of like a more cold approach, where you're just like, you go and you're like, okay, so this is what I'm trying to talk about, if you see them.
Use all resources available and socialize as much as possible.
Absolutely.
And when it comes about creating opportunities for data projects, any ways that you've tried and you're successful in those ways, or any learnings from those way of creating that space for new data projects?
Absolutely. I think when it comes to data projects, if you're looking at a more organizational level, it could depend on what scale maybe the company is at, like if it's a startup, if it's like a big corporation, what resources do they have available, etc. I have had some experience where I was working with a smaller company, and we did not have a lot of resources, and we had to sometimes find out projects by ourselves, like through personal connections or through our networks, and then send them a proposal. And if they're interested, they would respond back, and then we negotiate and we create some opportunities to work together. Or sometimes, I think sometimes it's not even, like a very traditional method. You're just having a norm, as we discussed in the previous question, the importance of socializing or networking. So sometimes you're just talking to someone and you're like, basically there's data everywhere, and, you come across something new that can be solved through data or improved. And then there are consultancies which pretty much work in the similar way. To round it up, I think I don't have a lot of understanding of it yet, but hopefully I will soon. And so these are some of the approaches that I have used. It usually would be like or we come across some problem on the internet and we write a proposal and we send it to them. And if they want to work together, we just engage in conversations and try to show them how our solution could benefit or help them further. And sometimes it would be, there was one time when I worked on a project, which was traditionally a project on related to data science, like counting trees and in a certain type of biodiversity. But we ended up also training people on how to, live a more sustainable life, etc. So it was sort of like a workshop. We learned something from them. We taught them something we knew. So sometimes I think it also can be in a form of skill exchange, where you create more opportunities, and that helps you create more opportunities in the future. And I also think that right now, there's so much data everywhere, and sometimes you don't know what to do with it. And a lot of people I have met, honestly, who work in this field are extremely collaborative. You can't do much alone. You need help to learn about it, to, different stages when it comes to data science itself, like data science, analysis, machine learning, data engineering. You need different sets of expertise. So I also think that through personal opportunity, like personal networking, we can create a lot of opportunities for ourselves. And I have gotten to work on some very interesting projects through networking, through just shooting a random message to a random person.
Yeah, that's right. And it seems so easy when you present it this way that anyone can do it. But clearly, you've been really great in communication and using your skill set fully. I'm curious if you can share with us some tips, frameworks that you use in your work when it comes about personality, communication, or soft skills.
Absolutely. So I actually recently had an experience, like I was in Google Mentor Development Program, where I think about 30 women from the EMEA region were selected, and we were given some training on how to mentor better or how to communicate better and take our communication to the next level by Pitch Ninjas. And there I learned that a lot of things that I was doing regarding communicating in person was actually not right. I think if I have a good idea, the other person needs to hear it. And that's sort of my motivation when it comes to communication. And I'm like, they might like it. And most times I realize that they've already thought about it, but still they appreciate that, you know, someone else is thinking in a similar way. So that's one thing that I usually keep in mind, that every idea is worth hearing, and something that I respect if other people do as well a lot, because there's so much potential right now, so many amazing people. And so in the program, I learned about a couple of creator tools that that can be equally beneficial in presentations or communicating, cold emails, anything. When we are trying to maybe sketch a presentation, it should obviously have a clear goal, a clear takeaway, which I'm not following today, but yeah. So we can look at it as basically a hanger, and the hook of the hanger where you hang the clothes, the hook is sort of like your takeaway or your call to action, the main call to action from the event or from the presentation. And then on that one hanger, you can hang three items at most. So it's important to not have more than three key messages. Otherwise, it can be a little difficult for people to grasp it. So that's something that I keep in mind now. If it's more of a time constraint message that I have to deliver, that it's three clear straight messages, and then I have one main call to action, what I would like the audience to do. And something that is also extremely important is to have a vision of what we are trying to do. How do you want your audience, through written media or through oral communication, to feel after you're done with speaking or after you send them an email? So vision, compartmentalizing, the hanger tool, they are some things that I use. And especially when it's a cold message, because sometimes it can come off a little arrogant or non-researched or even aggressive based on the messages I personally have received. Sometimes it can be like, hey, get me a job. You know, it's like, this is my CV. I'm looking for this job. And can help me. That's it. But I personally think that when it comes to a cold message, it's important to give the person space, if it makes sense. So what I would usually do is that a little introduction, a very short introduction about myself, because if they want, they can always go back to my LinkedIn and see more about me. So like a very brief introduction, asking them how they are, and actually finding a point where we can connect. Like, why am I messaging this person, even if it's out of the blue? I think that's extremely important. And that probably is something that people miss out on, is what I've seen sometimes. Similar to the first question we discussed, where understanding the problem, the context is the most important thing. here it's most important to understand the key connection. It's always that one thing that you have to find and pinpoint, and that sort of builds the foundation of any collaboration, in my opinion. Yeah.
Do you have an example of the hanger, like something maybe that you used?
Absolutely. So I actually did this exercise during my sessions with Pitch Ninjas, where I had to practice a short, maybe like 2-minute introduction, cold introduction with someone maybe who I met at a seminar and they don't know about me, I don't know them. So how would I personally want them to remember me? Like, imagine they're meeting like 500 people in 10 days or something. So how would you want them to remember yourself? And that was some exercise that I did with them. And they also showed this chart of personality types, which you can figure out maybe after spending some time with them. And people can basically be of 4 personalities, red, blue, yellow, and green, and or mixed colors as well, technically. So we had this practice of, you know, like where the communication coach would act that they are from a certain personality color, personality type, and how would we approach them. So it depends a little on who you are communicating with. But in general, what we decided was, or what we think what would be the best was, that the 3 messages or the 3 items on the hanger could be some data around why diversity and inclusion is important. Maybe something to connect with my experience would be the 2nd thing. Like, why am I talking about it? Like, how is it relevant to me? And then the 3rd thing would be, since our message was AI towards global good benefit, some sustainable development goals or some results that we would be targeting based on the work that we're trying to do. And the call to action or the hook in this hanger was that we wanted people to become members and contribute. So they could either contribute by becoming a contributor, like they could either be involved in involved as a knowledge giver, someone who has some experience, some industrial experience or academia experience in artificial intelligence, and they could be involved in hackathons or different things, or someone who wants to learn, so they could be involved as well. So yeah, so basically that was the end goal, which
that was a great example, actually. And it's nice to reflect on some frameworks, because there is maybe nothing perfect. It's just to know to pull those resources at the right time and experiment and see what works best in what cases. Going towards the end of our chat, I'm curious to hear from you, if you would reflect over your career, what are your learnings from a leadership role in AI, in the AI space?
Absolutely. And I would again go back to what I have been saying like half of the time, which is it's extremely important to understand the problem we are trying to solve. Be in the shoes of the end customer and create something which helps them, because the end of the day, technology is or should be something which is helping people and making their lives easier. If it's not making their lives easier, it's not a successful product, in my opinion. I have also realized that it's very common to feel like an imposter sometimes when you work in technology or maybe other fields as well. And it's important to understand that everyone's learning. No one knows everything. So it's important to not feel intimidated when someone asks a question and we don't know anything. It's okay to say that you don't know it. And but you know, like if you want, you can learn it. And one of the other key takeaways is that tech is highly collaborative. And sometimes it's portrayed as a lot individualistic, I think, on the outside, but it's extremely collaborative. So in my opinion, it's important that we work in a way together in a team where we help each other grow. If someone is interested in learning a new technology, we give them opportunities to maybe, practice that and learn it better. And it doesn't hurt to be a little human sometimes, I would say, especially if you're managing a team or we have people who look up to us in some way or the other. And the last thing is, which I also learned from the Google program, is the importance of feedback. And it doesn't, like, when I was growing up in India, the reviews or the feedback, I always had this weird feeling in my head that it's always negative. It's like people coming to you and telling you what things you are bad at. I realized recently that, feedback is a very beautiful thing where you also get a chance to hear or learn more about what things you're good at and what things you can improve. It's not necessarily like a bad thing. So, which also is really important because we are often the worst critics of ourselves. So it's nice if someone tells you that, hey, you look good today, when you think that you look horrible when you look at the mirror. So, so I think these would be some key takeaways for me so far.
Fantastic. I would say that often, and not necessarily in the data AI space, people overthink. They tend to put a lot of pressure on themselves and overthink and create problems that don't exist. And missing out opportunities that pass by them just because they don't have the courage to take the chance. And I can also say that I'm really proud that I've been part of the analytics space over the years, because in my opinion, I couldn't be part 100% of other domains, but I can say for sure that the analytics space, the data community, is very open, very supportive, keen to share, exchange ideas, build partnership, mentoring. It's fantastic what happens in this space.
Absolutely. It's really nice, in my opinion also. I think it's just about how we approach a problem or how we approach the right people that matters the most. And I think after that, there are, a lot of people who would be happy to collaborate, to teach, to learn from each other. So it's more of, I know this, you know that. Let's work together so that we learn something new from each other that probably it would have been difficult to do by ourselves.
Absolutely. That's a skill and mindset that we need to nurture going forward and also share with other domains. Because I've seen that, as you said, we have a lot of data and sometimes we don't know what to do with that data or how to manipulate high volumes of data. It's becoming a bigger challenge every day. So then we need to collaborate and partner with engineering, with designers to understand the users better. So I'm very curious about where the future takes us.
Absolutely. I think that's something that is something we've seen in the past as well, right? Like I recently was, I'm interested in learning more of data engineering in the future. So I was watching a LinkedIn Learning video on data engineering, like the fundamentals and stuff. And there I came across the little story of how the field of data engineering came into existence, which was technically that because we have a lot of data now, as we did maybe 15 years back, earlier data scientists were, working on managing data and some of those roles. But then it because of so much data, it became outside their skill of expertise to actually manage it. And hence, a new profession came into action there called data engineering, which now, you know, like manage data, the ETL and other pipelines and other things. So, so I think going into the future, we'll probably have a lot more roles, a lot more interesting skill sets that we need to learn from each other or grow, adapt into. So it's going to be very interesting.
Amazing. I'm so happy for having the chance to go through this insightful chat. And for sure, some other listeners enjoyed at least as much as I did. Thank you so much for your thoughts, learnings, and opportunities that you shared with us. And I wish you great success in your new role and to meet sometime with other stories.
Absolutely, definitely. It would be really interesting, definitely. And thank you so much for wishing me a good wishes for the new role.